So our text for this morning's meditation is from Ephesians chapter 4, these words, "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility." So our text. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, yes, the Christian life is a calling. Calling. Calling? What's that? Well, a calling is a manner of life to which we feel moved or compelled or inspired to live, whether or not it is to us of great advantage in this world. A calling, therefore, it's not a manner of life into which we're born. Calling is also not a life driven by the amount of success achieved in that life, the amount of fame generated by it, the amount of notoriety gained. A calling is a way of life lived on its own merits. That is, it's lived because it's felt it simply should be lived. Now it's said nowadays that being a rancher out west, for example, is more of a calling. Why? Well, there's no money in it, really. It's a subsistence existence. And those who still do it, they like the prairie. They love the animals. They enjoy the wide open spaces. And they don't mind being alone. Closer to home, those working on dairy farms seem to have the same situation. Yes, there is some money in dairy, but day in, day out, milking cattle twice a day for an entire lifetime? Has to be a calling. Teachers? Policemen? Firemen? Nurses? Doctors? Postmen? I suppose we could name any number of jobs, of ways of life that are entered because a person feels called to do so, thinks that it's something that should be done, hopes that somehow there may be a living in it, but does not allow that to be determinative. Now listen up. Listen up. It's not that there's anything wrong, anything sinful worth working at a job to which a person doesn't feel particularly called. We must all work. We must all make a living. And if we can do so honestly and with integrity, whatever it is we do, that's a good thing. For through our work, we serve our neighbor in love, whatever it is we do. So I don't want to get hung up here, and I don't want to offend in any way whatsoever. I simply want to make the point that there are some types of work to which people feel called. And it's that calling, that felt need, that what they're doing needs to be done, that drives them, that keeps them working, that keeps them going, even though they could be doing something else. I think we all know what I'm talking about here. Of course, the question as to why certain people feel called to certain types of work that often need to be done but are not very lucrative, that's another question entirely, isn't it? I suppose that psychologists would suggest personality types, as in some types of personalities are just naturally drawn to some types of jobs. Geneticists would tell us that the family genome is probably to blame. And behavioralists would chime in with, well, it's what they're raised to do. That's why they're doing it. And there may be something to that. That is when it comes to a calling in life. But what about that calling called the Christian life? What about the calling called Christian faith? What about that calling called the Holy Christian Church, the body of Christ? Is that a matter of our personality? Our genome, our upbringing? Well, no, it's not. The calling to which we've been called, Christian faith, Christian life, Christian love, is a matter of the Holy Spirit of God. For we are Christians at the end of the day, not because we find Christianity somehow to be appealing, something which is needed, something which must be done, but because the Holy Spirit has worked faith in our hearts. Faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, drawing us then into the body of Christ, the one holy Christian and apostolic church. When we were baptized, the Holy Spirit came down upon us and entered our hearts and worked faith there, faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And at that moment, that very moment, we were given a calling, a specific calling, and that is to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ throughout our lives, living like Him and thinking like Him and talking like Him and serving like Him and loving like Him. Why? Because it's going to be for us somehow lucrative, establish our place in the world, assure somehow our success and legacy? No. But because we simply have been called to this calling of living in and with and by and for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come, follow me, the Savior spake, all in my way abiding, so we sing in the hymn. Now, The wonderful thing about this calling in Christ, is that daily we can live looking toward the future in hope, the hope of a resurrection to eternal life, and eternal life with Jesus and with all those who have also lived believing in Him as our Lord and Savior. And of course, that hope is accompanied by a daily assurance that the sinful state in which we live is not counted against us, and the sins that we commit because of our sinful condition are forgiven, and forgiven daily. And that being so, we can live in peace. Our conscience clear, and our conscience being clear, we are free to think of how we can serve each other in love. That's our calling. It's our calling. Clear conscience. How can we serve each other in love? But what then is all this about humility? What is all this about humility? Yes, about humility, about considering others to be greater than we are, worthy of more praise, worthy of more honor. Now, that can be a tough one. That can be a tough one, especially when all around us we are told again and again and again, lean in, stand up for yourself, tell people who you are, take what belongs to you. You are somebody. I mean, it seems to have gotten so bad on some days that we can't even speak about humility anymore, or what is worse, it is thought that humility is not humility at all, but perhaps some form of depression. Struggling with self-worth, self-demeaning state of mind, which we must conquer. Well, here's a way of thinking of humility that can perhaps get us out of this conundrum, this modern fascination with our ego, our self-esteem, our pride, and that is to think of humility in this way. The realization that something we have, we did not earn, and we did not deserve, but nonetheless, it was given to us. Let's listen to that again. Humility can be thought of as the realization that something we have, we did not earn, we did not deserve, nonetheless, was given to us. Now, as Christians, we realize that this definition of humility covers a whole gamut of things, most especially the gifts and talents and abilities with which we were born. We didn't earn those. We didn't deserve them. We were given them. Now, we could add to those our parents, the country into which we were born, the state, the community, our relatives, and thus all of the opportunities that we were given just because we were born at a specific time and in a specific place. What do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you did not receive? That's the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthians. But there, the Apostle Paul was not referring to what we could call the first article gifts, which we all possess, gifts of talents and skills and abilities, whatever they may be. No, there, the question was one of Christian faith, of somehow boasting in coming to Christ on our own as if our life in Christ was a calling to which we felt disposed, and that being so, we should get credit and honor and glory for having done so, for having decided to follow Jesus. This is simply arrogance, isn't it? Pride, boasting. So Paul to the Ephesians, that all too familiar passage, by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not because of works, so that no man may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, it's one thing to strut through life, our accomplishments pinned to our chest. I mean, that was what high school was, right? With letter jackets covered with everything that we had done, completely ignoring the fact that our height, our weight, our strength, our speed, our intelligence, our musical ability, or whatever came from somebody else, our parents, grandparents. A friend of mine was 6 feet 10 inches tall. 6 feet 10. And we were all so surprised that he ended up playing basketball. None of the rest of us were 6 feet 10. I am, of course, joking here, and I'm not anti-letter jacket, nor contra-encouraging our children to pursue interests and work hard, excel, get credit. We must live in this world. We do live in this world, and that's how this world works. But as Christians, we must simply confess that all such things are gifts of God to us, gifts given so that we can use them to serve our neighbor in love. And the greatest gift given to us personally is the faith created by the Holy Spirit within us that grasps our Savior Jesus, his saving work for us, and thus brings to us daily the forgiveness of sin, its realization, and so a clean conscience and hope and even joy. So the calling of Christ to which we've been called is one defined by humility, a humility which freely confesses that what we have received. And it is just such a humility that leads to gentleness with others and patience and bearing with them. Why? Because our relationship with them is not one of, you should be exactly like me, and since you're not, it's your fault. You have not done, you have not been, you have not accomplished, and therefore I don't need to love you. That's not our relationship as Christians with others. My last day in college, I was sitting around with a handful of classmates in the science building there at Concordia Ann Arbor, waiting for our geology class to come to an end. Class with a teacher whom we really dearly loved, but who simply struggled to teach the topic. Now, that's another story. Well, anyway, we had grown close as classmates, and as we struggled to understand that professor, we also took field trips together in a school van, and we really got to know each other as we discovered the geological riches of the state of Michigan. Well, as we were sitting there, I think there were about 5 of us, one of the girls revealed to us that she had dyslexia. Now, dyslexia, as you know, is when you see words backwards, and you're born with it. Well, what I didn't know and what she told us that day was that there are those who have dyslexia that see words backwards, and those who see numbers backwards, and those who see both words and numbers backwards. Well, she had the dyslexia where she saw numbers backwards, not words. But none of us knew that until that moment. And so we asked her, well, how do you cope with that? And she said, well, when I see a number, I just read it backwards, and I know then what it is. So someone, being smart aleck college students, someone quickly scribbled 17 on a piece of paper and said, so what number is that? And she said, well, that's easy, 71. And we laughed. Her face turned bright red. She realized what she had done. 17, she said then, very embarrassed, the number written on the piece of paper. I remember thinking at that moment, I love numbers. And how hard would it be to constantly, day in, day out, make that adjustment? How wonderful was it that I could simply read numbers? What a gift! But I couldn't take credit for that. And none of us can. And none of us can take credit for the faith created within us by the Holy Spirit of God, faith in our Lord and Savior. So let us do what our text tells us, and that is to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.